This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, I just asked Big Ed, Ed, can you play this song? He finds it. He's amazing. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed, we thank you for joining us on this Friday, September the 18th on Freedom Works. We will be talking in a few minutes with Amy Pykoff of Parler. Now, Parler is a free speech platform. And we're going to talk about the new Facebook Climate Change Info Center. Have you heard about it? The Climate Change Info Center. Is it helping or hurting the truth about climate change? So stay tuned for that. And Trump was in a Wisconsin rally last night, while Biden was in a town hall last night, going on at the same time, I think. How did each of them do? How did they do? We're going to check with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci, about that and more. So stay tuned for it. And scientists may now know where the coronavirus originated. They've gathered all the info, and we're going to tell you all about it. And in our ultimate top 10, you're going to love it. The top 10 movie characters with the highest on-screen kill counts. In other words, how many people they knocked off during the movie? Isn't that a great one? And it's not Sleeping Beauty. No, that was not one of them. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, not in downtown Dunedin, but in Dunedin. It's actually on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. And you guys, just for the best haircut you can get anywhere, but you gotta make reservations, 727-733-3773, 733-3773. And before I forget, good morning, Clearwater. I hope you guys listen to it all the time, Monday through Friday. Isn't it a great show, 8 to 10 a.m. with Paul and Tracy Allen? I love the show. Keeps you moving. A lot of energy in those two characters. So let them start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. That's Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Well, I watched a little bit of it. You know, that we had a hockey game going on down here. So I didn't see all of this. But Donald Trump went up to Mosinee, Wisconsin. That's in northern Wisconsin, I believe. And he had a rally. He slammed Biden. Of course he's going to slam Biden. He had a good crowd. I don't think most of them were wearing masks, but I may be wrong. He said Joe Biden devoted his entire career to offshoring Wisconsin jobs, outsourcing your factories, throwing open your borders, dragging us into endless, ridiculous foreign wars, and surrendering your children's future to China. And he said, and Dems is good points. No, he didn't say that. But he said everything before that. So he's accused him of doing just about everything bad. He pointed out that Biden was outside his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania, for the town hall at the same time he was doing his rally. And he said Biden was taking softball questions from Anderson Cooper and the gang. Well, are you surprised? The CNN is holding, and I'm surprised they didn't hand him a sheet of paper with the questions and then the answers right after it. He could stand there reading it right off the piece of paper. But he mocked Biden and CNN for choosing to make the event a drive-in. He said, with about 35 cars parking at the Major League Baseball, Minor League Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders Stadium. That's so he had about 35 people. I think Trump had quite a few. It was kind of interesting. In the meantime, as we say, Biden, and I did not see it, I'll be honest with you, so I'm just reading what they said about it. But apparently some people are panning CNN for the softball questions that Biden was receiving and not getting him ready for the debate. Here's some of the things. While Biden's performance received praise for his ability to display empathy towards Pennsylvania voters who were there to ask him a couple of questions, it was described as a softball game. Well, if they have a baseball parking lot where they're leaving their cars, maybe it's appropriate that he got softball questions. CNN's Anderson Cooper, a big Biden fan and a huge Trump hater, was the moderator. You got to remember, Trump went on ABC and got, those weren't softballs. Those were darts, rocks, mortars, hand grenades. He got tough questions. So this is from Politico columnist Jeff Greenfield. He is not a conservative, Jeff Greenfield. He says, in the first moments, the contrast between what Trump was asked and what Biden is being asked is striking. Biden's doing very well, yes, but this is not exactly getting him ready to face tough questions from a Chris Wallace or a Jake Tapper, should he decide to do so. That's what Jeff Greenfield says. Now, the first presidential debate, what is today? Today is the 18th, correct? So the first presidential debate is in 11 days. And Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday, who will be fair? He, even though he's on Fox, he tends to be a liberal. He's a little bit on the liberal side, but he'll ask fair questions. Nobody can say that Chris Wallace will not be prepared. So it should be a very interesting debate. It'll be interesting to see what kind of shape Biden is in. I bet you more people are tuning in to see what kind of shape Joe Biden is in than even maybe the questions themselves, because everybody's kind of wondering about him. I mean, you got to be honest. He has slowed down. Now, we all do, but sometimes he does look almost zombie-like. And, well, hopefully he's in good health. So we will see what we will see. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Amy Pikoff and the Free Speech Platform, from the Free Speech Platform, talking about the Climate Change Info Center at Facebook.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, September the 18th. Thank you so very much for listening in, and we're delighted to have Amy Pykoff join us. Amy is the Chief Policy Officer for the free speech platform called Parler. And we're going to talk a little bit about Facebook and what they call a climate change information center. Apparently, it's supposed to be there to give us the facts on climate change, if indeed we can find any. Amy, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely our pleasure. So, can we trust Facebook to figure out what are the facts about climate change? In fact, can we trust anybody? I often wonder if anybody really knows what is going on with climate change, but they've come up with an info center. Tell us a little bit about it.
Right. So Facebook, in the tradition of having various information centers about COVID, about voting, about other things, has decided they now need a climate change information center as well. And, you know, to me, it's just this tradition of Facebook using its power to tell us what it should think, what we should think, and to whom we should listen on very important issues. You know, you had asked, can we trust Facebook? And the question really is, should we trust anybody else to do our sifting of information and our thinking about that information for us?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I agree with you. And I guess it's inevitable that Facebook and some of these other internet chatting services tend to become a little bit, it's like anything else, they tend to become a little bit more powerful than maybe they should become, the people that run it. And then all of a sudden, Google, same thing. And all of a sudden, they start manipulating things. And people start to wonder, about how objective they are. Maybe it's impossible ever to be totally objective, And on the internet, let's be honest, everybody kind of takes political sides, I guess, once you start talking about politics. But Go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, It really depends, what you consider to be objectivity, right? So does it mean that you're never going to make any mistake when you try to apply, say, a moderation policy? And I've started to, as in working for Parler, appreciate some of the problems that could come up, right? Where you do need to remove certain types of content because it is actually criminal actions like threats or fraud, or intellectual property violations, or child pornography. These are things that must be taken down. And then there are certain things that a rational business would go ahead and moderate as well. And those have to do with, say, unsolicited advertising, bots, and things like this. And to try to be as objective as possible with your content moderation policies is what you're always going to do. Are you going to make mistakes sometimes? Perhaps. But then are you going to use the fact that nobody can be mistake-free all the time as an excuse to bring in your personal ethical and political beliefs when you're making content moderation policies. That's the slippery slope that I think Facebook and Twitter and others have gone down, and that we in Parler, we're doing everything we can to not do that, in part, you know, by having a jury moderation. We actually have a community jury doing moderation according to our very minimalist set of guidelines in order to avoid going down that path.
Wow. And so they, what do? They convene on certain topics, or how does that work?
Well, so what happens is we'll get these violation reports from users, and then we have community jurors who will get to see the pieces of content, and we have a quorum system. So essentially, if there are 4 out of 5 jurors who say, yes, this person is guilty of posting actual fraudulent content, and by that, we don't mean fact-checking the true-false stuff, but we mean defrauding people out of money, actual crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have 4 out of 5 of the jurors who give you a guilty verdict, it's a violation, and depending on what it is, the content will be taken down, and then, of course, various violation points assigned to it. If any 2 out of the 5 jurors will say not guilty, then we say, okay, it's a not guilty verdict. But we put as much as possible into that system to try to, you know, achieve the most objective results possible. We think it is the best you can do. But the fact that human beings are fallible doesn't mean that you give up on that goal, and you don't hold human beings to a standard of infallibility, or any system designed by human beings to a standard of infallibility.
Right.
You put checks and balances in and everything, and you do your best.
So back to Facebook and this Climate Change Info Center. This is a very divisive topic. Obviously, Democrats are jumping on board the whole concept of doing something about climate change. I've never heard a specific plan that is rational on it. You know, it involves many, many years and many, many billions, if not trillions of dollars to somehow fix things. And then we've got Republicans that go, yes, you know, the climate is changing. I don't know how much humans are changing it. And even if they are, you've got to sacrifice the good things that humanity is getting from some of the products that may indeed, you know. So we go back and forth. So having said all of that, with the info center, what do we do about it? How do we know there's going to be any kind of, how are they going to keep politics out of this thing?
Well, you know, I don't think that you can actually keep politics out of climate change. Are you asking how to keep politics out of Facebook?
No, out of this this info center, basically. How are we going to know the truth? Nobody knows. You know, it's like the ongoing science is always searching for a truth, but never completely getting. You know, that's why science keeps going, because we're always searching at every, you know, we're finding out more and more and changing our opinions about this, that, and the other thing. So with climate change, would it not be the same way? Well, we don't really know. So the info center, I guess we can say, well, 4 out of 5 scientists say this, and the other scientist says that, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. Go ahead.
Facebook is taking it upon itself to tell you, and this is the words that they use in their press release, what, quote, science-based information is. And they also purporting to tell you who are the leading climate change organizations. That is also their language. So what I see them doing is they are picking the information that they believe you should listen to. And in effect, they're appealing to authorities on this. You know, science, everybody uses the word science. New York Times this morning was talking about how Trump's advice is counter to what, quote, scientists say. So there's the appeal to science we have these days. Just another version of the old Aristotelian fallacy of appeal to authority applied to these issues. The climate change issue is very controversial. Some of the policies that are promoted by Mark Zuckerberg and others, you know, this kind of net zero emissions and all of that, it is a policy that's going to disproportionately affect the poor. Now, I don't believe that we have a particular moral duty to the poor. I'm more libertarian objectivist along those lines, right? But certainly, if you're thinking about what you're going to do about climate change, and then you're going to impose these draconian policies that are going to disproportionately affect the poor, affect third world developing countries, et cetera, you need to rethink that. You know, what is the human cost? Just like the lockdowns, the COVID lockdowns, what has been the toll in terms of human prosperity of those lockdowns? Similarly, what about the various climate change policies?
Indeed. We're talking with Amy Pykoff. She is the chief policy officer of the free speech platform called Parler. And we're talking a little bit about Facebook's new climate change information center. Amy, we don't know where the truth is coming from. You mentioned it's somewhat libertarian. Let's take on that responsibility individually. You know, look and think for yourself. And when you hear that all the scientists say one thing, well, we know that all the scientists don't say one thing. I've had a guy on over the years that is a libertarian scientist and absolutely convinced me that the human effect on the change of the climate is minuscule, absolutely minuscule. You know, and he could come up with data and. And I would walk away totally convinced. However, I'm sure there's another scientist that could send me in the other direction. So we have both sides going on here. And I'm not sure. I mean, can we go anywhere for the truth in this, do you think?
Well, I mean, where you're supposed to go for the truth at the end is your own mind, right? And that's the thing that Parler is centered on, is that we believe you should be able to look at all information that's being offered out there. You should judge critically for yourself. You shouldn't have a social media company holding your hand and telling you what has been fact-checked according to whatever their fact-checkers are and everything else. In other words, you should think for yourself. You should think critically. You shouldn't depend on other people to do your thinking for you. Now, with something like climate change or medical advice or anything else, we are often relying on experts, but then individuals are not left helpless. They can look at the credentials of the expert. They can look at any signs that what the expert is saying doesn't make sense. It isn't internally self-consistent. It happens to be pushed perhaps by a political entity that is funding them or otherwise has influence over them. People can be also critical about their experts and what they're getting from their experts. And we can demand that our experts explain things to us in a way that we can understand it, that we can evaluate. So, you know, for us at Parler, we are sick of these, what we call techno-authoritarians, telling us what we should think, what we're able to see and consider and view. Look for as much information as possible about those issues that truly affect your life, and then you take action according to your own best judgment.
Sounds very, very rational and smart. Now, in addition to this Climate Change Center, they got a information center for COVID-19, don't they, at Facebook? And then, God forbid, they got one on voting information. I'm kind of worried about all of these things. I wonder when people go to these things, they go, oh, yeah, okay, now I understand. You know?
I mean, you know, Facebook presents things in a very beautiful, user-friendly way often, right? And because a lot of people have a lot of value around Facebook, you know, they connect with their friends and they share their cat pictures and everything else, they get the warm fuzzies about it. And I am concerned that sometimes they will lose their objectivity with respect to Facebook pushing various types of information and agendas on them.
Indeed. Amy, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. I'm so glad you've got this Parler. How do people find out more about Parler?
So come to parler.com. And as I said, everybody who wants to think for themselves, who does not want to have their content curated or who is worried that if they say something on Parler that doesn't meet a corporate agenda, that we're going to moderate them. We do none of that. There is no moderation based on viewpoint. All are welcome. So it's Parler.com, or go to your app store, either on Google or iOS, and find us, P-A-R-L-E-R, Parler.
Terrific, Amy. Thank you so very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right. Amy Pikoff. Very interesting. We're going to take our break when we come back. Trump was in Wisconsin. Biden was in a town hall. We got Andrew Ceresi in his barber shop. We're going to check with him about how things went last night.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's
733-3773. It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? So, all kinds of things were going on last night on television. We had, on one station, we had Donald Trump with his rally. Then we had Joe Biden doing a town hall in Pennsylvania, and then our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, who, by the way, clinched to go into the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So, Andrew, which of those did you watch?
Yeah, you know what I watched, Paul.
Yeah, you watched the Lightning.
I watched DT, buddy.
Okay.
Donald Trump. Yes, I did.
I know you did. So tell me a little bit. First of all, and I was watching some of it. I thought he was in rare form, as usual. And he had a good crowd. I thought to myself, Mosinee, Wisconsin, that's way up there, kind of almost in the boondocks. But look at the turnout.
It looked like Woodstock, Paul.
Yeah, it did to some extent, didn't it?
And you know what, Paul? He was on fire. Everything he said to those people was right on the money, man.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden with China, taking jobs out of there, the guy's for real.
He really went after Biden, didn't he?
Well, he should. I mean, that's what it's about, isn't it? It's called politics.
You're right.
What are they doing with Trump? They've been going after him for almost 4 years now, right?
True.
Every day, relentlessly.
He mocked Biden.
And the thing that they're saying all is a bunch of bull crap. Okay, it's nothing but lies. Trump disowned the veterans. He talked them down in Normandy. And it's all a bunch of lies. It's all been proven. But yet they keep doing it. Or everything he's telling them is straight on facts and truth, my friend.
Yeah, and I don't think that the military is buying it. What the Democrats are selling on it. I really don't.
Oh, please. The military don't want nothing to do with Camilla and Biden. Give me a break.
Camilla. I call it Kamala. You call it Camilla. I've heard Kamala. I also heard Camel.
Oh, well, that's the best one yet.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, Biden is on CNN, and I guess there were a handful of people who parked in a drive-in style parking lot where the baseball field was and walked in. And they said there was about 35 cars out there. Come on. So they got them in there. About 32 of them were Democrats, and three of them might have been independents. But apparently the softballs were so good, you and I could have caught them blindfolded.
Oh, Paul, you sit there and ask a guy how many hot chocolates he had during the day. Come on.
True. True.
It's the truth.
So,
look it. They're not going nowhere, Paul. I don't care what these freaking polls say. These polls are a bunch of baloney.
You know, I really, and I said this earlier today on the show, I really am kind of wondering about the zombie-like appearance of Joe Biden. I mean it. I'm beginning to wonder if there's really, I don't know. There's something about the way he's talking. You know, if you look at 20 years ago, and I know we all slow down, but this guy's almost grinding to a halt.
Well, Paul, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around people that get dementia and Alzheimer's. I've been around quite a few with my customers. And let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I see them go from running and jogging around the block to 6 months being, just like you said, a zombie.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. And then you know what? The facts are, too, that the doctors drugged the hell out of him. I guarantee you Biden's on some kind of drug.
He seems to be slow, and yes, there does seem to be something going on with that. So he gets a softball question. Not going to help him when it comes to the real debates. And we've got Chris Wallace on September 29th. I think that's only 11 days from now, doing this first debate.
I don't think it's going to happen, Paul.
You really don't?
No, I think you're going to see Biden come down with COVID. Because the following 2 weeks is the next one, right? Now, if they say he's got COVID, he's tied up for 2 weeks. He can't do either one of them.
You old
that takes us right to the election.
You old conspirator, you. Yeah, would.
Huh? I don't trust nothing they do, Paul. And this is where I keep telling you. And I hear more and more, man, people from California talking. Hey, people are fed up there, brother, big time. They sit there and they talk. The moron sits there and talks about the climate change with the wildfires and Trump. And this, the fact is they caught 17 people starting fires.
Wow.
All along a highway, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay,
something
I mean,
that's out
the
there.
Facts are there. People are fed up with us, even in California. I think I'm still predicting it. You're going to see California go red.
That's amazing. We're talking with the master barber, Andrew Ceresi himself, a man that is not afraid to share his opinions. So if Trump wins California, then, I mean, let's face it, it'll be like when Nixon beat George McGovern.
Right, and I'm telling you what, that's just what you're going to see. And the same circumstances going on. The people were going crazy and they're rioting. People are tired of it, Paul. I'll tell you what,
mm-hmm.
Once Trump gets elected again, you rest assured that they're going to try to violence this, that, and everything else. If you thought they were bad in 2016, you haven't seen nothing. But there was only one difference this time. You remember when Mr. Obama sat there and whispered in Putin's ear, you know, once I get reelected, we could do some more different things.
Correct the record. It wasn't Putin's ear. It was the ambassador's ear.
No, the ambassador. My mistake. That's
right. All right. Yeah.
And, you know, Trump's the same thing here, brother. These things are going on. He can't do nothing about it right now because they want it to look bad. They want to blame it on Trump, and he can't do nothing because the government can't go in unless the governors and the mayors ask about it.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make him look bad, but people know this, Paul. The American people aren't that stupid. Yeah. They are stupid. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of them that are. Okay? I saw 20 of them the other day at 580 in front of Publix holding a Biden sign.
Yeah.
Those are stupid people.
Well, they're ignorant people, and there's a difference. I mean, I say that in this sense. People can be ignorant and be very bright, but they don't have the info. So I call them ignorant. And
no,
I think a lot
nicer
of these people,
you're just nicer than me, that's all.
No, I'm not. I can be every bit as crazy as you. But anyway, I wanted to ask you this. If I lived in Minneapolis, or if I lived in Portland in particular, or even Seattle, I think I'm going to be very interested to see how those voters vote. Are they all that completely ignorant that they would vote Democratic after what's happened to their cities?
It all depends on the neighborhood, Paul. It all depends on the neighborhood in Minneapolis.
If my neighborhood was being trashed,
80,000 people were planted there purposely back in the day. So,
well,
it all depends on the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. If my neighborhood was being trashed, I don't care. I would vote
against.
I would vote for the guy that is law and order, because I want safety.
Well, that's
and
because
civility.
You're that ignorant, Paul.
Well, I just can't understand how anybody could stand there and watch their neighborhood deteriorate, or their stores being kicked
in. That's how they're used to living, Paul. That's how they're used to living. Look at where they come from. Look at these third world countries. They are used to this. That's everyday life to them.
Yeah, but they escape third world countries to come to a place where this would not happen.
Well, you would think that, don't you?
It's like a socialist country, a person escaping Venezuela or Cuba, right, coming here. They are the most anti-socialist, anti-communist.
Well, Paul, that's why you've got Trump getting 52% of the Latino vote now. Like I said, 40% of the black vote. It sounds like a Nixon election.
Yeah.
Look up to me.
Yeah, no, I think, Trump holds every card. I only worry about the way he plays the deck. In other words, when he comes across sort of the way he does, you and I have talked about this, and you say, well, that's why so many people like him. And I would say, well, that's also why so many people dislike him, because of the braggadocio.
I think the amount of people that like him, Paul, outnumber the amount of people that don't like him, and the purpose in the packaging.
Yeah.
Last night they were panning the crowd, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Normally they don't do that, do they?
They're very enthusiastic.
Yeah, normally they don't do that, Paul. The enthusiasm for Trump is there. As a matter of fact,
I agree with you.
You want to see how enthused the people are. Sunday, there's a Trump car rally at 2:30, and I believe the last time they had one, there was over 1,000 cars.
Where?
And this is going to be, it starts at Cleveland and Myrtle. I guess there's an old Walgreens or CVS.
Okay, so it's here in Clearwater is what I'm trying
here
to get
here in Clearwater,
at.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll bet you this thing has over 3,000 cars.
Really? Okay, so let's go back. When is it?
It's on Sunday.
This Sunday?
The 19th. Sunday's the 19th, right? Yeah.
The 20th, I guess.
Is it? Well, it's supposed to be the 19th. I'm going to have to double check. I thought that it means it's tomorrow.
No, you're right. Today. Well, no. Now I'm confused.
Saturday's the 19th.
Yeah, tomorrow's the 19th. If it's Sunday,
okay,
it's the 20th.
Okay, well, then it's on the 19th. It's the
Saturday.
2 o'clock, the cars, yep. At 2 o'clock on 590 in Myrtle Street, there's an old CVS or Walgreens, I guess. It's closed down, and everybody's going to meet there with their cars decorated, and they got a long map. They're going through Clearwater Beach, Bel Air, all over the place.
Really?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to be there with a Trumped Out Trump-mobile playing Make America Great on the loudspeakers as we go.
Ah, that'll be great. In fact, next week when we talk, I want to find out about that turnout. I'd like to see. This might be a good indication,
I think you've already seen the indication.
Yeah, I have in some sense.
And everybody has. That's why I'm saying. These people, they think they're playing a game, and they think they're going to win an election by mail ballots. And let me tell you something. They try to anything with their mail ballots, and they're going to wait till the 20th till Pelosi gets in. You know what they're going to see? They're going to see 85 million people this time really peed off.
Yeah.
Okay? And they all have weapons, and you know what? They're ready to take their country back no matter what it takes. And if they try to pull something, I'll tell you what, if I was a Democrat politician, I wouldn't feel too safe anywhere.
What do you think about Trump coming up with the statement that we're going to probably have a vaccine ready maybe in weeks, maybe in October, maybe before the election, and then...
Yeah, Paul, the vaccine is pacifying people. 59% of the Americans don't even want no part of a vaccine. They did a survey on it, a poll. 59% aren't even going to take it. He's just saying that to pacify the people, whatever, with the vaccine. You know what's important? I think come October, you're going to see a lot of people going down. You got James Comey being subpoenaed, Brennan being subpoenaed. I think in October, you're going to see that they're not going to be talking too much about COVID. They're going to be talking about other things.
So you think that all of this is going to be going on with these hearings and everything before November 3rd? I think Comey has agreed to testify, which is kind of nice. It would be interesting to watch him duck and dodge. That guy, to me, is...
If he didn't agree, they would say right away, there's something with this man. So he's got to agree to make it look like, hey, guys, he's done.
So do you think the Republicans are doing this because we're getting closer to the election and they just... There's politics involved,
right? There was politics is politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dirtiest game in the world.
I've never
learned so much in my life as it is. Like I told you.
Yeah.
If a citizen lies to the government, they call it perjury, put you in jail. If a politician lies, they call it politics.
Well, I want to leave you with this. I don't care what people say about Nancy Pelosi. I like the way she styles her hair.
Everybody does lately.
Okay. I was listening to C-SPAN this morning, and a guy called in. He was obviously a Trump guy. He said, I just want to say I really love the way Nancy Pelosi does her hair. I don't think that the moderator didn't like that. Funny.
Well, again, she's a woman of power.
She certainly is. And ice cream, from what I've seen.
Yeah, what Nancy wants, Nancy's going to get, indeed. No matter what it takes.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again on Monday about all of this.
You got it, buddy. You have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you so much, Andrew.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, the master barber. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, maybe scientists now know where the coronavirus originated. We're going to tell you all about it.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on our Friday show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are here Monday, Tuesdays, and Fridays, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And remember, if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Because he sets up all our shows on podcast, just go to ourfreedomworks.com, freedomworks.com, and look for the podcast button, and you'll find the shows, latest show first, going back, and you'll see who the guest will be and the top 10, all the things you need to know, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, you know, everybody's saying that the virus may have come from a lab and created there, or maybe it came from a wet market. Well, a group of scientists from the U.S., China, and Europe have compared mutation patterns of the virus to other viruses and then came up with an evolutionary history of all the viruses. They discovered the lineage responsible for producing COVID-19 has been present in bats. And that's where it started. And So they say bats are the primary reservoir for the lineage of the SARS-CoV-19 virus. Then they mentioned it's possible that pangolins, which is a type of mammal, or another hitherto undiscovered species may have acted as an intermediary to get it into human beings. So bats is where they say it came from. But at the same time, if you watch Tucker Carlson, he had on a Chinese virologist. Her name is Dr. Li Mengyan, and she claims to have evidence that shows that the government of China intentionally, whether it came from bats or not, intentionally released COVID-19 into the population. Now that is very scary. A bunch of things, including Facebook and other techies, censored what she was saying on their platforms. But she apparently has got some gravitas. So she says that, she knows that it actually did come intentionally and was allowed to be released. Now, she, I'm just trying to find some of the things that she said when she was on Tucker Carlson's show. But they talked about the censorship, that she was being censored, and that a lot of people are saying and downplaying what she was doing. But she was in China, and she was a virologist or virologist, and she said that COVID-19 is not from nature. Not from nature. That it was developed in the lab in Wuhan, China, and then intentionally released. So that is kind of scary right there. All right, I want to talk a little hockey with our buddy Big Ed, because Ed, the Lightning are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Did you watch?
I did. It was a busy night with the remote control, because you did mention also last night that the Rays played two games.
I did not know that.
And they won both, and now they are officially in.
They're in what? The Rays are officially in trouble?
Or they're officially
in the playoffs?
Yes.
Hey! No, I didn't know that. That's great news.
Yeah, they're officially in. They're the second team to go in. Actually, third.
That's third. Fantastic
The
news.
Dodgers went in. The White Sox went in, and the Rays went in.
Oh, that's wonderful. When did the playoffs start?
Was there 10 games left? Something like that.
Okay. So yeah, we have a shortened season.
Yeah, so like 2 weeks.
Well, that's great news. Great news. I'm only hanging on the Lightning right now because I did watch the game. And I know, well, you might have been flipping around. I was, too. Mm-hmm. But they went into two overtimes. It was very exciting, and I have to give credit.
It was one overtime.
Did they not go to a second overtime?
No, it was only one overtime.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe I was drinking too much at that point.
Yeah, but you were in overtime.
But they did go into overtime, and I got to give credit to that goalie for the Islanders. Yeah. I thought if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't have been an overtime.
Right, yeah.
He stopped everything. Until that very final goal. But it's great to see. I thought that the Lightning looked very strong.
Yeah. And they're still playing hurt. You know, they've still got guys banged up. So hopefully in a couple of days, they don't play not till Saturday. Saturday night will be the first game.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. And they'll be playing the Dallas Stars for the Stanley Cup. So here's my question. Maybe you don't know the answer. If the season's going to end with this series with Dallas, when does the new season start?
We're December.
Already in December.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll have.
Okay.
They'll have roughly about 7 to 8 weeks off.
Okay.
I want to say December 1st.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I believe.
Yeah, but sometime in December.
This be December 1st.
You know what I credit the whole NHL about? Somehow keeping the virus out. I haven't heard too much about it.
Well, they've been in the bubble, so you can't go outside the bubble. You go outside, you're out.
You're talking about the teams that are currently playing.
Yeah, the teams that are in there, yeah. You go outside the bubble, you're finished.
They shoot
you. I'm more impressed now with baseball because baseball is not in the bubble. And you remember when they first started, the Marlins got in trouble, the Phillies got in trouble, and...
Yes, indeedy.
You know.
You're right. You're right.
They're not in the bubble, though.
Well, it is time. I think this is a great top 10, and I have to give myself credit. I was thinking, what would really interest people and, you know, kind of get their, I guess, the dark side of them curious. And so we have come up with the top 10 movie characters with the highest kill counts in a movie. Now, some of these movies you've seen recently with Tom Cruise and Keanu Reeves.
They're
playing, playing these these characters that are literally wiping out 25 or 30 people in one scene.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really crazy. So here we go. This comes from TVOverMind.com, the top 10 movie characters with the highest kill counts. Here we go. Number 10. It's actually a tie, Ed. It's a tie between Tequila from the movie Hard Boiled in 1992 and Blade from the movie Blade 2 in 2002. They both knocked off 77 people.
Yeah.
Did you see either movie?
Nope.
Okay. And that was a tie. So that was actually 10 and 9, you might say. So number 8, Ken. Sounds like a simple, pleasant name. Mm-hmm. Ken, in a movie called A Better Tomorrow Part 2 in 1987, he killed 78 people.
Okay.
Ken was not the Ken of Ken and Barbie doll. Number 7. And I love this name. John Matrix. Yeah, right. That's the villain or the good guy in Commando 1985. He's probably the good guy with that name. Commando 1985. Body count, 87. Did you see that one?
No.
Okay. Number 6. Now, this one you might have seen, Ed. Rambo.
Of course.
Well, this is Rambo 2008.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which of the 42 Rambos.
So you went Rambo 1, 2, 3, and then Rambo.
Yeah.
Well, Rambo 1 was First Blood.
Yes, it was.
And then Rambo 2 was something else, and then Rambo 3 was... And then, so the original, just like Rocky.
That's right.
There were Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then just Rocky.
Yeah, there was one called Rocky Balboa.
You're right, right.
You're right. That's what happened here, too. And by the way, it's the same it's the same actor.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, body count, 87. That's what I wanted to get out. Number 5. Tetsuo. You know, I'm sure it's a Japanese movie. It's called Akira, 1988. Hey, listen to this. Good old Tetsuo knocked off 96 people in the movie. That's pretty good. I wonder if he used one of those swords. You know, that would
thinking many swords.
All right, let's see. Number 4. Topper Harley in a movie called Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah, it's a spoof.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Body count, 103. Wow. Okay. Number 3. John Preston in a movie called Equilibrium made in 2002. He killed 118 people.
Okay.
That man is busy.
Yep.
All right. Number 2. Smith. That's all that they have for his name. Smith in a movie called appropriately called Shoot 'Em Up.
Okay.
In 2007, body count 141. Here we go. I won't ask you, Ed. You'll have no idea.
I have no idea.
I know. I wouldn't either. The movie, or the guy is Ogami Ito. The movie is Lone Wolf and Cub, White Heaven in Hell. What a name. 1974, body count 150. They wouldn't have time for dialogue.
No.
All right. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.